This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Amma ba'd, brothers and sisters in Islam, today our khutbah is about al-ghiba. It is about backbiting. When you are saying things about people, and specifically bad things about people, behind their back while they are not present. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in Surah Al-Hujurat. In the Quran, Allah azza wa jal says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. Allah عز وجل says in this surah, He says, and do not spy and do not backbite one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فكرهتموه. يعني for sure you would hate something like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likened it to eating the flesh of your brother after he dies, tearing it and eating that. This is something that would be hated to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. So be, have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. So backbiting is from the kaba'ir, from the major sins. And linguistically, الْغِيبَ مِنْ الْغَيْبِ. غِيبَ comes from the root, which means الْغَيْبِ, which is the unseen. وَهُوَ كُلَّمَا غَابَ عَنْكَ. And it's whatever happens when you are not there or behind your back, while you are not present. All of these things happen when you're not present, so therefore it is unseen to you. That's غِيبَ. The Prophet ﷺ gave us the technical definition of it, not the linguistic, but the sharia definition. And Nabi ﷺ asked the companions, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَ. Do you know what الْغِيبَ is? They said, قَالُوا أَلَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. Allah and His Messenger know best. قَالَ ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. He said, when you mention your brother, and of course this also applies to the sister, with what they dislike. You mention something that they dislike when they're not backbiting about you last night. We're mentioning good things, but that's not غيبة. Only if it's negative or if it's bad, or something that they would dislike for you to talk about. So also exemptions to that. Even if it's something negative, but the person's okay with it. يعني someone has a defect, and he always makes fun of it. يعني when someone has a one arm or whatever, and he calls himself one-armed Ali, and that's his nickname on his social media, he doesn't care. So here, it's not غيبة. But you know, بما يكره, what they dislike, you mention it while they're not there, then it's considered غيبة automatically. So then the companions asked, what if what you're saying is true about the person? قَالَ إِن كَانَ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ اِغْتَبْتَهُ. That's the essence of al-ghiba. If what you say is true, then you have committed ghiba. You said something bad about them, even if it's true, behind their back. That's the essence and the exact definition of ghiba. وَإِن لَمْ يَكُن فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ بَهَتَّهُ. And if it's not true, then you have slandered him. Now you have forged a lie against him. So that's exactly what al-ghiba is. Some people think that this is actually true and factual, so therefore it can't be backbiting. That's the exact definition of what backbiting is. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. And Some of the Mufassirin and the scholars like Qatada and Mujahid, Imam Malik, Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahumullah, they said that al-humaza here is referring to those who eat the flesh of people. And it means here, not literally of course, it means eat the flesh of people, they backbite, they speak about others while they're not present. And waylun, the wail, as you know, it's either a statement of zajr, admonition, like woe to you in English, or it is, as some Mufassirin said, it is a valley, the name of a valley in the hellfire. So this valley in the hellfire, promised to those who eat the flesh of people. Or woe to those who eat and slander and speak about other people. We know that there was a companion of the Prophet ﷺ. His name was Ma'az ibn Malik. And Ma'az ibn Malik was stoned for adultery due to his or upon his insistence. Yani he insisted to be stoned because he wanted to be purified from the sin. So after he was stoned, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam overheard two men talking. And they were saying, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى هَذَا الَّذِي سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَلَمْ تَدَعْهُ نَفْسُهُ حَتَّى رُجِمَ رَجْمَ الْكَلْبِ. He said, don't you see, يعني, look at this person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concealed his sin, but he wouldn't leave it alone until he was stoned like a dog. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not comment, and they continued. And then they came upon a carcass of a donkey, rotting flesh of this donkey that was dead. And the Prophet ﷺ said, أَيْنَ فُلَان وَفُلَان, where is so-and-so and so-and-so? He said, أَنْزِلَا فَكُلَا مِنْ جِيفَةِ هَذَا الْحِمَارِ. He said, dismount, get off your riding animals, and eat from this carcass of this donkey. فَقَالَ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَأْكُلْ هَذَا? They said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, O Prophet of Allah, who can eat this? Who eats something like this? And the Prophet ﷺ tells him that what you consumed or what you said about your brother is worse in the sight of Allah than for you to get down and eat from this rotting donkey, this dead animal right now. So the question is, how is something so serious become so easy upon our tongues and so common in our gatherings? The Prophet ﷺ admonished his wife Aisha radiallahu anha for saying something far less explicit and dangerous than the things that we say in our gatherings now. Aisha radiallahu anha was talking about Safiya, the other wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, "Hasbuka min Safiya annaha qasira." She's basically said, Safiya is short, that's it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells her, "Laqad qulti kalimatan law muzijat bima'i al-bahri lamazajathu." He said, "You have uttered a statement, if we could materialize this word and mix it with the ocean or with the sea, it will contaminate the sea." Yani it's so strong that it would contaminate all the waters of the sea, just this statement that you said. And all she said was, Safiya was short. And look at the things that people are saying now. So backbiting is so serious that the one who is sitting with people and they're backbiting, but they're staying quiet, they're not taking part in it, he's just sitting with people who are backbiting, that person, the scholars say, is blameworthy and sinful. He's not engaging. He's just sitting with people. Why? Because the first thing is that it was upon him or her to advise everyone to stop. And he didn't say stop. And he may be, and sometimes when someone is in a gathering like that, they don't take part in backbiting, but they love that they're backbiting this person because they don't like him. So the heart can be pleased with an action that someone else is doing or with a sin that someone else is doing. So they said the first thing is he should have or she should have told everyone to stop backbiting. The second, if you can't, then you leave also. You're not supposed to remain in that gathering. And the scholars mentioned and they compared it to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said if Allah's verses are being ridiculed and mocked, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ, don't sit with them. You're supposed to leave that gathering. And the scholar said the same ruling applies here. If other people are backbiting and you're in the group, then you either advise them to stop or you leave that group. The only excuse and the only exemption, the only person without a sin in this case would be the one who is too weak or incapable of stopping them, يعني, or giving advice. Hypothetically, you're in the gathering of the Khalifa. The Khalifa is an unfair person. He's backbiting. If you tell him, Ya Khalifa, taqillah, he's chopping your head off. There's nothing you can do in a situation like this. You're ajiz. you're incapable. Here there's no blame. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Muddathir tells us, upon the tongue of the people of the hellfire, they're asked, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ? Why are you in the hellfire? They explain first that they weren't from those who prayed, and then they mentioned a number of things. Then they said, وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. And we used to engage in whatever people were doing. It's haram, we engaged in it. It's sinful, we engaged in it. So that's why Qatada, the Mufassir of the Quran, rahimahullah, he says, كُلَّمَا غَوَى غَاوٍ غَوَيْنَا مَعَهُ. Whenever someone just immersed or indulged themselves in something, we did the same thing. Whatever someone was engaged in something, we just engaged ourselves in the same thing. From the punishments of backbiting, we have in the grave, the famous hadith that we know of when the Prophet ﷺ passed by two graves and he was informed that they were being tormented in their grave. He said, one of them used to not shield himself from being soiled with urine. But the other person in a narration, the Prophet ﷺ says, وَأَمَّا الْآخَرْ فَيُعَذَّبُ بِالْغِيبَةِ. The other one, he's punished because of backbiting. He used to backbite and talk about people. That's in the grave. In the Akhirah as well, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمَّا عُرِجَ بِي, when I ascended to the heavens, مَرَرْتُ بِقَوْمٍ لَهُمْ أَظَافِرٌ مِّن نُحَاسٍ. He said, I passed by people, I saw people who had large nails made of brass. يَخْمِشُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَصُدُورَهُمْ. And they are scratching, aggressively scratching their faces and their chests. فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَؤُلَاء يَا جِبْرِيلُ. So I asked Jibreel, who are these people? He said, هَؤُلَاء الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ لُحُومَ النَّاسِ وَيَقَعُونَ فِي أَعْرَاضِهِمْ. These are the people who eat the flesh of others. يعني they backbite. They backbite and they slander them. So that's their punishment in the next life, is that they'll have these nails, these huge nails of brass, and they're scratching and tearing away their faces and tearing away at their chests. And one of the most dangerous things about backbiting, brothers and sisters, is that it is a sin. We have in the sins two categories. Sins against Allah Azza wa Jal. That's between you and Allah forgives everything if you're sincere. And then we have sins against the creation and against the servants of Allah. And the scholars said the danger of those kinds of things, sins, is that even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you, that does not cancel out the damage that you've done. And if Allah forgives you, it also does not cancel out the rights of the person that you hurt with your speech. And so in the second khutbah, inshallah, we're going to explore how do you expiate this sin? If you backbite and you say bad things about someone, how do you correct that? And when is it that you can talk about someone and it's not considered backbiting? And how to stop yourself from falling into it? أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الذُّنُوبِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ فَيَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So what do you do if you have spoken about someone? You've been backbiting someone. What do you do? In all cases, you always make a tawbah between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. You make a personal tawbah between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. But the first category, we're looking at the situation where the individual, the news didn't reach them. And you said something bad about someone and he never found out about it. So how do you expiate that sin at that point? So the scholars say, number one, you seek forgiveness for them, not from them. Meaning, you're backbiting about someone, so you ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive that person. Oh Allah, forgive them and pardon their sins and excuse their... And just you start asking Allah to forgive that person's sins. That's the first thing. That's how you expiate the sin of you backbiting them. The second thing is, the scholars mention that whatever gathering where you mentioned them negatively, you mentioned them positively in that same gathering. I was with five people, and I was backbiting a brother. Now I make sure that when I'm with those five people, I praise that same brother. That's part of expiating or erasing and reversing that sin. But these are in the cases where the news did not reach the individual. Like, what about the case where you were backbiting someone, and then one of the shayateen from the humans who were available went and conveyed that news? He went and told them, so-and-so said this about you in this gathering. So now he knows what you said. How do you expiate in that case? In this case, you ask them for forgiveness. And the Prophet ﷺ explained this also in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari. And Nabi ﷺ said, "Man kanat indahu madhlamatun li akhihi, falyatahallalhu minha." فَلْيَتَحَلَّلْهُ مِنْهَا. يعني, if you've done injustice to your brother, then you get your brother's, or your sister in this case, get their forgiveness for it. Let them pardon you from it. And then the Prophet ﷺ goes on further to explain, فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ ثَمَّ دِينَارٌ وَلَا دِرْهَمٌ. يعني, لَيْسَ ثَمَّ, meaning on the day of judgment, there will be no currency, no gold dinars, no silver dirhams. But they will take it from your good deeds. And if you don't have any, the Prophet ﷺ says, they will take their bad deeds and throw them upon you. So you ask their forgiveness in this world before the next. If they have passed on, you ask Allah to forgive them and so on and so forth. Now what's important, if someone comes to you, first of all, if when you go to apologize to someone for backbiting, you don't have to go into details. It might just infuriate them. There's one person, someone came to apologize to them for backbiting. His apology infuriated him more, and he told him the details of what he said. You don't have to say that. Said, "I want to ask your forgiveness. I was at a gathering and I said some things I shouldn't have said about you, and I repented to Allah, and I pray that you can forgive me for this mistake." But you don't have to go into the details. And if someone comes to you and asks your forgiveness for backbiting you, don't start an investigation. تفتح لي محضر. And start asking questions. Why did you say these things? Who also was there? Then you go to that person. Why didn't you say something on the day of such and such? Start an investigation. The person came asking forgiveness. Forgive them if you can, and you should. So then when is it acceptable to talk about someone? And when is it not backbiting that you say something possibly negative about someone? Some are very obvious. The scholars mention if you're going to a judge or an arbitrator. You're coming to talk about how this person robbed you or this person did injustice to you. You're going to mention something negative, but it's not backbiting because you're bringing it to someone who's able to do something about it. Or you're asking, another category, you're asking someone's assistance with changing a munkar. Yani someone who has the ability to make the change, you tell him, "I discovered that so-and-so is addicted to this or that, or has this specific problem. I'm asking for your help in fixing this problem." As long as that person is able to help, actually, then it's not backbiting. Taban, people play games, so they'll come to someone who is not a judge or an arbitrator, or come to someone who is not able to help with a situation. "Can you help me with this situation?" And it's just an excuse, a green light to backbite. That is counted as backbiting, and it does not count here. To also to warn of evil or to give advice. يعني, there's someone who is doing evil in the community and is trying to recruit more people. To warn of him is not backbiting him. Sometimes you warn of a scholars also give another category, a heretic, someone who's a mubtadi'. You warn of a mubtadi' and someone who's a heretic, and someone tells you that's backbiting the person. No. So this will fall under the same category of what is known as the science of al-jarh wa ta'deel, where the scholars would talk about people and say, "This person is trustworthy, this person is a liar, this person is forgetful." And that was all under the umbrella of protecting the religion and preserving the deen. It was not backbiting the individuals. But in the case of nasiha, so someone comes to you, "I want to go into business with so-and-so. Do you think I should do it?" Taib, you know, here, this is an amana, this is a trust. And you have to be honest and give them your honest opinion. "So I want to express to you that this person you want to go into business with is not a good person and is not good with money. So I give you my nasiha, honestly, and you're supposed to keep it to yourself. And I might tell you a story because you're not convinced, and I give you another story. And then when you're finally convinced anything I add now is backbiting and I'm sinful for it. Yani, you want to go into business with Ali, and I tell you, he's very bad with money, you shouldn't go into business with him. I can't believe that, he's such a good guy. طيب, I tell you a story. He went into business with so-and-so and it went belly up. You're still not convinced. I give you the third example. Now you're convinced. Gulu, don't worry, I still have fourth and fifth and sixth. The fourth, fifth and sixth, now it's a sin for you. Because he was convinced. Once the point is reached, khalas. Anything on top of that will be a sin or backbiting, considered backbiting. So, and we know this because a woman by the name of Fatima bint Qais came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she asked him about three men that she's thinking of marrying one of them. He tells her, as for this one, he has no money. As for the other one, he hits women, but go for Usama ibn Zayd. So he told her the first one doesn't have money, the other one hits women. That's not backbiting. She wants to know, and she wants a sincere advice on what decision to make. So if it's nasiha, if it's to warn of someone's evil, and then the scholars say if it's someone who publicly commits evil and commits sins, this person is not back, yani someone has a, he drinks or what have you, and he puts pictures of himself doing the haram on his social media page. Okay? If you say fulan the drinker or fulan the drunkard or fulan the thief, and he's yani a proud thief, مثلا, then here, if you say that about him, it's not backbiting. This one, a person is openly wicked and openly displaying his sins. Here it does not count as backbiting. And we mentioned before, the one who is a heretic and he's a deviant, and you're warning the community of them. There's a con man, you're warning the community of this person so he doesn't, you know, scam them. All these things are not considered backbiting. The last thing to discuss is the non-Muslim. And you find people torn on this issue. Can you backbite? He's a non-Muslim. Why do I backbite him? وخلاص عاد. طيب. First of all, is this a khuluq? Is this a characteristic and a mannerism that you want in you as a believer? يعني, is it about the person or is it about you? It's about you. It's not whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. طيب, they're non-Muslim. Backbite them, lie to them, curse at them, cuss at them. It's not about that. It's about you don't want to be that person doing these bad deeds. So it does count as backbiting. Your co-worker at work, non-Muslim, khalas, bismillah, yalla, let's backbite. It's not permissible here. And it's not like the example of the openly wicked person that you're warning the community of. None of that applies. It's a khuluq that we don't want to have in us, regardless of whether the person is Muslim or non-Muslim. So it is not permissible to be backbiting people at the office and people at work, whether they be Muslim or non-Muslim. With that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who hear the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it, and to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. فَاللَّهُمَّ أَرِنَا الْحَقَّ حَقًّا وَارْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَهُ وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَارْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابَهُ فَاللَّهُمَّ لَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا. اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا